The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Maybe seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you who attend worship on a regular basis, and for those of you who do not attend on a regular basis, somewhere along the line, I suppose, you have heard a sermon on the cost of discipleship. Well, this morning, once again, you're going to hear a sermon on the cost of discipleship, because that's what our text talks about today. It's some fairly harsh words here in this text, but we're going to look at this and we're going to go through it. Jesus gives two examples of counting the cost of discipleship. In the first example, he says, if a builder is going to build a tower, shouldn't he stop and estimate the cost, make sure that he has the supplies, the materials, the builders, the labor, anything that he needs to be able to build that building? If not, people are going to ridicule him. When I was in my first parish, it was in Harper, Texas. Some of you may know where Harper is. It's up in the hill country west of Fredericksburg. And the closest big city was San Antonio. So a lot of times to make hospital visits for some of the major issues going on with some of the members, I would have to travel down I-10. Sometimes Catherine and I would go to San Antonio for other events or other things, like just simply going shopping, what we couldn't get up there in the hill country, or even maybe just for some entertainment to go down, see a movie, or go walk the Riverwalk. But anyway, I would drive I-10 fairly regularly. And there was a spot there close to Burney where people had started a building, and the only thing that you could see were steel girders going straight up and a few cross pieces around that building. And it was a multi-story building. What it was supposed to be, I don't know. Whether it was supposed to be an office complex or apartment buildings or maybe a hotel, I have no idea what it was supposed to be. But for years, that's all you could see on that site, with those steel girders going up 60 or 70 feet up in the air and debris all over the site. And I know that there was a story behind that somewhere, where somebody was going to build a building, and I don't know what happened. Maybe they went bankrupt. Maybe the contractor went bankrupt. Maybe somebody got hurt on the job. In any case, I'm sure there were lawsuits. And it was always sad just to see that skeleton pointing up in the sky. Jesus gives another example here, too, of the king who goes out to wage war. And if he looks at the opposing army and sees how big they are, he has to count the cost of what it's going to take for him to defeat that army. Otherwise, you go out and you try to negotiate. I don't know if some of y'all remember back in the 90s with the Gulf War, the war against Iraq. When Iraq invaded Kuwait, the U.S. and allies decided to defend Kuwait and to liberate Kuwait. And so we jumped into a war. But before the war started, the United States and allies started to build up troops. They made sure that everything was in place or everything was ready to go before they went to war. They made sure that the troops were in place, that they had aircraft carriers and airplanes in the area. They made sure that they had plenty of tanks and other weapons and missiles and ammunition and personnel, that everybody was in place and they knew that what they were going to do. And then the war started and it was over very quickly. I think the buildup for that war took longer for the actual war itself. But the United States and the Allies had counted the cost of war and made sure that they had enough to carry that out. And so we look at the cost of discipleship. But before we actually look at the cost of discipleship, we need to look at the cost of no discipleship. There is a cost associated with not following Christ, not taking up your cross and following Him. As a pastor, one of the responsibilities I'm called upon to do is to perform funerals. And basically, there's two different types of funerals. There are the funerals for those who have whose faith is obvious. They're in worship on a regular basis. It's obvious that they have faith as they teach their children in their homes. And as they incorporate the faith into their marriages, as they incorporate their faith also into their community service, also how they are able to work within the church, and simply just their demeanor of how they are always a person who attracts other people as far as make people feel safe around them. That their faith is obvious and that they have studied, they have looked, they have read their Bible. And so you have those folks. And at a funeral like that, there is still grief. Many people love this person who has died because they have been inspirational in the lives of so many people. They've touched the lives of so many people. And so there is grief, there is sadness, there is tears, there's mourning. But at the same time, there is a sense of celebration, a celebration of this life, of how God has blessed this person and how God has blessed all those other people who have been in touch with this other person, who has been around there. And a lot of times at the funeral itself, there may be some laughter, there may be some good stories that get chuckles out of people. Or when we go to the fellowship after the funeral, then too. People are telling stories and they're remembering and they have smiles on their faces of how this person touched their lives. There is that definite sense that this person has been saved, that Jesus has gone ahead and prepared a place for this person in heaven, and that they are celebrating at that feast which has no end and there is no doubt. And then there's those funerals for people whose faith is not evident. As a pastor, I'm still called upon to perform those services. And we have a funeral. And the same words are said in the funeral that are said for the other types of funerals. A lot of times, even the same scriptures are read. Those same words of hope and salvation are spoken. But there is no fooling the people who are there at the funeral, because they did know this person. But there is always that sense of hope. We don't understand God's mercy. We don't understand God's grace. And there is hope, but at the same time, there is not that confidence. There is not that confidence of this person's salvation. There was no evidence of it within their life. And so during the service, there is weeping, there's crying, there's grief, there's mourning, because people will still miss this person who has died. But there's not that lighter sense of celebration for this person. There is doubt. And that is the cost of no discipleship. That's one of the costs of no discipleship. No discipleship also affects our society with what's going on, with all the craziness that's going on. There was a church that was heavily involved in a prison ministry. Each week, the pastor from that congregation and a number of members would go into the prison, and they would do a worship service, and they would have prayers for the inmates and some Bible studies, and they would make a day of it. Every weekend, they would go over there and be involved in the life of those inmates. Of those inmates who participated in the worship services and the prayers and the Bible studies, when they were released, when their time was up and they were released, 15% of them committed crimes and returned back to prison. But for those residents, for those inmates who did not participate in the worship services and the prayers and the Bible studies, when they were released, 90% committed crimes and returned back to prison. It makes a difference within society. That, too, is a cost of no discipleship, of not taking up your cross and following Christ. And so let's talk about the cost of discipleship. What is the cost of actually taking up your cross and following Christ? The first thing is, it will cost you a ticket. It will cost you your ticket to eternal damnation. You can't go there anymore. Christ will not let you go there anymore. He died for your salvation. You are going to go and live with God forever. You cannot be condemned because Christ has saved you, you have been baptized, and you believe. And so it'll cost you your ticket for eternal damnation. The other thing, the other cost of discipleship, is that it will cost you your shame, your guilt, your regret of all those bad things that you have done throughout your life. Oh, we still remember, we still worry about those things, but we can let that worry go because Christ takes that off of our backs. He says, you are forgiven. Those things are not counted against you. All those debts that you have are written off. You no longer have to pay those things. That is the cost of discipleship. But then you ask me, but aren't there other costs as well then too? What about all those other people who died because they believed? Yes, ultimately, martyrdom is the cost of discipleship. And there's countless examples of that. You look in the Bible, the first one was Stephen, who was stoned to death because he professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We also read of the persecutions that happened in the early church. In our second lesson today, Paul is writing from prison. He was in prison because he was teaching about Jesus Christ and proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. And throughout the ages, people have been put to death because they were Christians. And even today, it is still happening. In some countries around the world, it is illegal to be a Christian. And if you teach Christianity, if you promote Christianity, in some countries, that is a death sentence. People are still dying for their faith. And that is the ultimate cost of following Christ. That is the cost of discipleship. But how about us? How about us living in here in America? More than likely, you're not going to have the opportunity to be thrown into the lion's den. You're not going to be fed to bears. You're not going to be tied up to a stake and burned to death. Those things probably will not happen to you here in the United States. At least I hope it never gets that bad. But there is still some persecution of Christianity here in the United States. Many people are angry. They're angry at the Christians. They do not like Christians. I'm not sure exactly why. The main reason I would think is simply because they do not understand Christianity. They have a false sense of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But there is a lot of animosity against Christians, and there is some persecution that goes on. For us, we may see funny looks from people if we bow our heads and pray in a public place. You may have friends or even family members who may want to talk you out of being a Christian. They say, why do you go do that? Why do you believe those fairy tales? Why do you believe those lies? And in a sense, that is persecution for us because we have to stand up for our faith. Cost of discipleship. Cost of discipleship, too, then, is probably you will not get invited to as many wild parties. When people recognize that we are serious about being Christian, and that's what it takes, is being serious about your faith. Doesn't mean we can't have fun. It doesn't mean that it's not enjoyable. It doesn't mean that we don't laugh or celebrate, but it means that that encompasses everything in our lives, is that we follow Christ. And that's what Christ is calling for here in our gospel. Like I said, in this gospel, there are harsh words. Anybody who does not hate mother, brother, sister, father, or life itself cannot be my follower, cannot be my disciple. It encompasses everything in our lives to be a disciple of Christ. That is the cost of discipleship. So one other thing. We like to be ambivalent. We like to waver. We like to think that we can go back and forth. But with this, either you pay the cost of being a disciple, or you pay the cost of not being a disciple. There is no in between. Either we belong to Christ or we do not belong to Christ. And there's many examples in the Bible where Jesus says there is division or there is a separation. So we count the cost of discipleship. For us, it is an easy choice. We know what Christianity is. We know who Christ is. We know what Christ has done for us and what God has done for us. We make that choice to take up our cross and follow Him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.